Introduction. It is my experience and absolute conviction that everyone in this world desires to be happy. Everyone, from the beggar to the businessman, to the criminal, wants to experience peace and joy on a permanent basis. Permanence is the issue. Where does one find these on a permanent basis and in a way that is uninterrupted? Saints appear on this planet in order to lead us on a path that becomes the answer to this question. You are all great beings. Your perfection is already with you. Your task is to break the karmic habit of hiding this fact from yourself. You have acquired a state of amnesia. You have forgotten that you are the self, that highest power that is the cause and effect of everything and everyone. This amnesia is your identity crisis. You need a certain medicine to cure this. I have written this work out of my experience of finding this cure. I want to share my experiences in retracing my steps back to the self, under the instruction and guidance of my spiritual leader, but also to advocate for permanent spiritual transformation. So, this is a book for those who want to adopt a spiritual lifestyle that leads to permanent spiritual transformation and higher states of spiritual awareness. This is also a book for those who want a better understanding of the approach to discovering and realizing one's true nature, the self, also called the supreme principle, supreme intelligence, or God. The great beings tell us to honor the sacred in everything and everyone, in everyday life. This is a matter of love, a matter of the heart. Life is the stage on which the amazing unfolding of this play of divine consciousness takes place. And life is the stage for realizing our true nature in the moment, from moment to moment, in the transforming love of the true heart. Spiritual life cannot be sustained without love. It cannot be sustained without the experience of the abode of the heart, that purest place within us that reflects light, love, compassion, and forgiveness everywhere. Going to this sacred place within is how we remember the self, that love, peace, and joy that is who we really are. This is the only way to permanent spiritual transformation. There is a consciousness within each of us waiting to be fully realized and embraced. This consciousness is a love so pure that it is without distinctions. Embracing it allows us to love ourselves and others so fully and without conditionality, regardless of the varying levels of interaction we engage in that are dictated by the roles we play. This consciousness is everything about us that is sacred and whole. It is a spiritual awareness imbued with joy, peace, and total freedom. That is who we really are. We just have to stop hiding this fact from ourselves. In this book, you will find that I place emphasis on the relationship between a true spiritual leader, aka Sadhguru, and a spiritually perfected master, and the student or devotee who may one day choose to adopt a spiritual lifestyle in order to retrace his or her steps back to God. This final state, sometimes referred to as liberation, self-realization, or God-realization, is indescribable. However, it is a state that, in our approach, can be understood and experienced in a very specific way. The state to be had, the culmination of any true spiritual approach and all true spiritual practice, can be known through the experience of the fullness of humanity in the constant delight of the inner self. To argue over labels will not allow you to get your feet into the ocean of love that embodies this state, as it is a state beyond all names and labels. After having participated in a variety of spiritual approaches and paths, It is my experience and firm conviction that a relationship must be established between the spiritually perfected master and the student or devotee for genuine and permanent spiritual transformation to occur. Because true spiritual leadership is required. Indeed, we learn best by example. So, this relationship is necessary for a period of time until the devotee reaches a level of practice where he or she is steeped in sadhana, daily spiritual practice under the leadership of a living master. See Chapter 23, The Bond of Power. Our approach is embodied in the very ancient oral tradition of the Shakta lineage. In today's world, the words guru, master, self-realized being often frighten people and prevent them from allowing themselves to be taught. This is, in part, due to poor behavior on the part of some quote-unquote gurus. However, just as you would not stop buying a car, a necessity if you rely on a car for travel, just because you purchased a couple of lemons in the past, in spiritual life, if you desire permanent spiritual transformation, you should not stop seeking out a master who can not only teach you, but who has the power to give you a direct experience of what is being taught. Continue to seek out such a being, even if you have read about or have experienced one who turned out not to be authentic. In the approach of the holy beings of my lineage, to be taught by one who has attained their state you seek is essential. If you've never experienced the constant state of rapture that the great beings describe as being awash in an uninterrupted state of peace, joy, content, and love without distinctions, how will you find it on your own without being led to it? I want to help demystify our approach and the role of the master with some simple definitions. The dictionary describes the word mentor as a wise and trusted counselor or teacher. In our approach, the sadguru, true spiritual leader, is just that, a wise and trusted spiritual companion and mentor. The difference between a spiritual teacher and a living master is that the Shakta adept, the living sadguru, gives you the direct experience of what is being taught by way of the power of grace. For this reason, the words master, sadguru, Shakta adept, or spiritual leader may be used interchangeably in this book to refer to the wise and trusted spiritual companion who has been given the authority and also earned the right to lead others to permanent spiritual transformation and the abode of the heart we refer to as the inner self by mastering what he or she has been taught by another living master by way of direct inner experience. Our Shakta approach. The lineage of Shakta adepts, spiritually perfected masters to which I belong, is the Shakta Parampara lineage of Lord Shiva. The internet is ripe with confusing and skewed definitions for some of the terms used by our lineage of spiritual teachers. Here are some helpful definitions taken from our sacred texts. Shakta approach. The entrance into the Shakta Upaya, Upaya means approach, that begins with the full Shakti awakening, or full Kundalini awakening. This initiates one into the power of live mantras with the experience that the power of your longing, your feeling and devotion, burns away all that you are not. This approach also embodies the easy means of purifying all the subtle spiritual energy centers of all the karmic impressions that keep one's true nature concealed from oneself. A Shakta adept is the catalyst and leader for this unfolding approach. Shakta adept. A Shakta adept in our lineage is a master or spiritually perfected leader, sadguru, A self-realized love being. Spiritually perfected means self-realized or God-realized. In our approach, this is a state where one experiences and is able to express the fullness of humanity in the constant delight of the inner self. Such beings are rare. See Chapter 4. Sad means true. A Sadguru in our lineage is a true, living spiritual leader or Shakta adept who has the ability to transmit the grace-bestowing power of a lineage of Sadgurus through Shaktipat. Such a being is a love being who has stored up the maximum amount of divine conscious energy, Shakti, needed to fully awaken this dormant energy in others. A spiritual mentor such as this does not harm others, and instead uplifts them. See page 60. Just as a teacher or mentor is required in the arts, sciences, athletics, and so on in order to become really competent in those fields, so too in the field of permanent spiritual transformation, a competent living master is required, one who has attained the goal of spiritual life. True spiritual approaches exist in order to provide the leadership necessary to lead people to union with the divine consciousness or the self, an active principle that is indescribable and universal. However, in order to realize one's true nature completely and experience the natural free state of the inner self, one has to take a companion in the living master until one has become rooted in one's own true state of joy, bliss, and divinity. It was due to this understanding that I consciously chose a Shakta adept to initiate me and to lead me. Such a being is a spiritual companion who leads by example and has an impeccable ability to instruct you. In our approach, the living Sadguru is the easy means. The means to what? The means to leading you to the revelation of your perfection, to the inner guru, the primordial guru that we referred to as the Shiva Shakti power, the highest power, after which, over time, you merge with that. This process takes time. If you are impatient, or if your expectation is to see profound, permanent shifts in your awareness overnight, you'll be disappointed. Permanent spiritual transformation requires a steady spiritual practice and some time, although not necessarily a lot of time. With the right spiritual mentor, you can reach your true nature in 12, 9, 6, or even 3 years. For some, it will take longer. But we are talking about a matter of years, not weeks or months. In light of the many allegations, some of them well-founded, regarding gurus and cults, I have set aside an entire chapter in this book entitled The Bond of Power. If you want to understand how spiritual practice and permanent spiritual transformation are attained in our approach, please read Chapter 23 carefully. Because I was raised on a spiritual path that uses the Sanskrit language, the oldest language known to humankind, I have grown fond of using certain Sanskrit words due to the power they carry. I will use the transliteration of those words throughout the book. Please refer to the glossary for the meanings and pronunciations of these words. Kali Yuga. As of this writing, we are a little more than halfway through the Kali Yuga age. This is the last of the four ages spoken about in some of our scriptures and other sacred texts, and also made reference to by the holy beings of our lineage, in which there is a gradual and firm decline in true spiritual experience when the masses turn away from God in favor of the perceived pleasures of worldliness. This is why so many holy beings have graced the planet in this age. There are debilitating qualities of this Kali Yuga age that, when understood, will help you to imbibe the spiritual urgency of what you read in this book. Some of these qualities are a time ruled by lust, wanton sex, and the pursuit of personal power, dominated by people's attachments to words, causing the brainwashing of the masses and mind control, where attachment to pleasure and pain are concerned. The destruction of true spiritual awareness in favor of false notions, like God is the body, and what can be acquired and enjoyed through the senses. Abandonment of the common good. The complete decline of the collective spiritual awareness of the masses. Taking refuge in the personal gain of people, places, and things. The pursuit of wealth and fame and the worship of these. A pill for everything, expressed as the desire of the masses to take refuge in mind-altering drugs that caused the increased desire for fantasy fulfillment. The increased preference for superficiality by the masses. The decline of human dignity, especially where female-embodied beings are concerned. Unless you've been living in total isolation or on another planet, I think you will agree that the above points made by the saints do, in fact, qualify much about the age that we now live in. This is why, with respect to permanent spiritual transformation, the great beings tell us, do it now, don't wait. The understanding of the spiritually perfected love beings of our approach is that divine consciousness contracts to take the form of language so that the universe can manifest and be sustained. Without letters, syllables, words, and sentences, this world would not exist. Divine consciousness is indescribable. It is truly beyond words. But the human intellect, until merged into the self or the supreme principle, requires words in order to direct its attention toward that which is indescribable. We call these words and labels educational terms. There is but one divine force that exists inside each and every one of us, that is also apparent everywhere in the universe. This supreme intelligence, or highest power, or divine energy, exists equally in every living thing and has contracted to take the form of insentient objects as well. This same absolute, this same divinity is also known as God, supreme consciousness, the supreme being, Shiva, Shakti, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, great spirit, the ultimate reality, the absolute, Jah, Ra, Allah, divine consciousness, the self, etc. All are a reference to this same indescribable principle that creates, sustains, and withdraws everything. In some cases, words like Shiva, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, Buddha, and Krishna are also names of great beings who lived on this planet in human form. Throughout this book, when it comes to speaking of the self, the ultimate reality or cause, I will use several of these names interchangeably. Just know that I use these labels with the understanding that they are attempts at defining that which is beyond language, and in which language finds its support. All of these names point to that one unifying principle, the supreme I consciousness, that is apparent everywhere, and that also dwells equally inside every human being. So try not to get stuck on any of the educational terms. Do whatever it takes to get your feet into the water so that you can begin swimming in the ocean of your own bliss, the joy and love of the heart. For example, if you are having trouble with the references here that you are God or the self, then you can begin with the understanding that it is possible that you are much greater than you think you are. At the very least, I encourage you to start there, if it makes it easier for you to listen and imbibe. The purpose of yoga is the transformation of limited human awareness into divine awareness of the ultimate reality. This is the discipline of which I am a part, and it is the subject of this book. There is no disparity between worldly life and spiritual aspiration. In fact, our approach harmonizes these two in the culmination of the direct experience of one's own inner peace and joy while going about one's daily activities. To begin to understand the inner self, you must believe that anyone, starting with you, can realize one's true nature, that sacred space within, with the right spiritual leadership and practice. To begin to understand this, you also have to cultivate the belief that it is a mistake to think that you have lived too long in your old contracted ways to change now. It does not matter how long a room has been dark. If you light a candle in that dark room, the light still shines immediately, filling the entire darkness with light. And if you believe that God only dwells in heaven and that he looks down on us in judgment and punishment, you will find it difficult to embrace any part of this book. Above all else, to begin to understand what you read in these pages, you have to be willing to, at least, open yourself to the possibility that divinity actually dwells inside you, and that you carry the promise of becoming one with the self that you already are, by breaking the habit of hiding this fact from yourself. In this book, I share the experiences of my sadhana, spiritual journey under the guidance of a living master, and the transformation that occurred as a result. I am eternally grateful for the light of my master's touch, and the perfection transmitted to me that led me to imbibe the truth. The spiritual leader in the Shakta adept truly is the means. It is to describe my experience of the God principle, or Shiva Shakti principle, and how one attains permanent spiritual transformation by recognizing that principle that I write this book. Through the instruction of the spiritually perfected love beings, and the leadership in daily spiritual practice that I received from my spiritual companion and mentor, I have become completely alive. I have been transformed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I experienced this transformation while living in the world, while going about my daily work and routine, while interacting with wife, friends, relatives, family, and business associates, and while earning a living in my chosen profession at the time. Without selling my belongings and moving to a deserted place, I perfected my practice and retraced my steps back to God. Through the grace of my master, I reached the final goal. The significance of this still leaves me in awe. I write this work so that those I serve and may come to serve can better understand how close at hand bliss really is, and how this divine conscious energy threads through every experience we have in our lives. For those who want a personal relationship with this supreme intelligence, for those who want to become more aware of the power behind their own existence, I write these words. Certainly, if a wretch like me can realize his true nature, so can you, so can anyone. For those whose hearts are ready to receive, I offer this book.